Blog Talk Radio.
From the far reaches of the known universe, we are proud to present Brother Harold Muhammad, soldier, scientist, scholar. Blog Talk Radio's finest. Not so mad science on Black Hole Radio. Black Hole Radio. Black Hole Radio. Black Hole Radio.
Assalamu alaikum, and welcome to another night of Not So Mad Science here on the Black Hole Radio Network, coming to you live from the city of Detroit, Motown. Just because Berry Gordy took Motown to L.A. does not mean Detroit has lost its soul. This is your host of Not So Mad Science, Brother Harold Muhammad, and I am blessed by Allah to be here with you one more time. Prayerfully, hopefully, looking to be here with you many more times. But as I start out these new editions of Not So Mad Science, I do not want to start out with words of my own. Tonight's subject matter is vast. We will be covering the social sciences. We will be covering COVID. We'll be talking about the heat index, plastic recycling, and the falsities there involved. We'll be getting into some biology, some biochemistry, and geophysics. So by Allah's grace, for all the time that I'm allowed to have your ear, I pray, I hope that you and myself all learn something. The theme of tonight's program revolves around government changes to the heat index and how heat in the summer months is reported or recorded with respect to how dangerous it is to be outside. Are black youth marked for death? Do we have the statistics? Do we have the evidence socially to bear witness to this? And yes, the COVID saga continues. The evidence is there. Now we have to share it with you, and we hope and pray that you take heed. They're now showing links to a higher mortality rate as a result of COVID now. And lastly, what is the true meaning of education? These are the key points with which I pray Allah we are able to get to in totality tonight. But let me start off with, are black youth marked for death by the U.S. government? What I'm sharing with you tonight with respect to that comes from the mind and wisdom blessed to him by Allah from the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, which dates back to May 26, 1998. On June 25th of 1989, Minister Farrakhan delivered a message titled Black Youth Marked for Death. At that time, nearly 1,200 youth, many members and leaders of so-called gangs. This is the second part of that lecture. The Holy Quran teaches us that we are social beings. So there comes a time in your development at age 8, 9, and 10 when you leave the home and go into the street to meet your friends in the neighborhood, and you form a natural alliance. There's a time in our lives that we identify with, get our feeling of worth from, and seek recognition by a group of boys and girls who have similar interests, aspirations, or needs. And usually they come from the same neighborhood in which we are growing up. Our reason for being together is defined by the streets or neighborhood, and therefore we feel we have a need to protect or defend what we call our turf. As a result, out of the need to identify and belong to and be recognized by a group of peers to feel safe and secure, groups are formed and natural leaders emerge to whom the members of the neighborhood group or gang give their allegiance. Each one of you that have a neighborhood group that is called a gang, you have given your allegiance to one of your own. You call him your leader. What qualities does the leader have? He usually possesses extraordinary gifts, courage, bravery, the strength to dominate, the will to win, the will to survive. Oftentimes, the leader is the greatest fighter among you. Sometimes, the leader whips you so that when he beats you physically, you submit to him. You become his boy, his group. In white neighborhoods, they harness this courage, bravery, and will to win. This aggressive tendency in young people. It's not a fault. It's a natural tendency in young men to be aggressive, to show strength. It's our rite of passage to maturity. We are growing up now. I am as strong as you. So I test my muscle against your muscle, my strength against your strength. I'll put my hands up and I'll shoot out a few jabs to see if you know how to defend yourself. This is part of growing up. We don't have a YMCA in most inner city neighborhoods, so we have no way to direct the energy that is in us. But among white people, they see the same energy, and they form a little league, a baseball team, a football team, a basketball team, a boxing team. And all the hostility and aggression is worked out in team sports. The will to win makes you a winner in baseball, in basketball, The courage is seen in how you work with the team, your bravery, your desire to be a winner. In white neighborhoods and the more affluent black communities, they do this to guide the macho spirit in young men. But suppose you don't have any money. There is no police athletic league that cares about you. There is no little league team for you. Then what happens to this aggressive tendency in the young man? It degenerates. Consequently, our leadership gained through courage, bravery, and strength is gained not in games, but in conflict. You came on my turf, man. I hit you in the mouth for being in the wrong place at the wrong time. And this is the way I prove myself I had it. This is the way I keep my boys in line. So since you get leadership by that means, the only way leadership is maintained is by constantly proving yourself, by constant involvement in conflict. Therefore, our recognition can only be maintained and sustained by exploits that cause us to be recognized. How many members of a rival gang have we beaten, maimed, killed? And the more we beat, maim, and kill one another, the more we have to beat, maim, and kill. So it becomes an ever-spiraling cycle. There are white people at the top who know that this is a natural evolution in human beings. It's not just germane to poor people. This is natural to all human beings, particularly males. But they sit in boardrooms and say, how can we manipulate this? Now look at our communities today. What is the result of this gang conflict? It is destruction of our own people simply because they do not live in the same neighborhood, go to the same school, or wear the same colors. They don't wear the same symbols. They don't wear their hat in the same way. If I wear it one way, I am this. If I turn it around another way, I am that. We start killing ourselves over something silly, over the marks that we have in our hair. Everybody in this gang has 3 marks on the side. Everybody in that gang has 4 marks in the back. And we knock each other down because our hair is cut differently. You don't see the big picture. You don't realize that we all come up out of the same earth, and our fellow sufferers in an unjust society that has put us in that sick world. We are the same people with the same experience, originating from the same source. We came from the Lord of the worlds, Almighty God Allah, yet we see each other as strangers. Have you ever thought that perhaps somebody wants this to happen? This is Not So Mad Science, and I'm your host, Brother Harold Muhammad, here on the Black Hole Radio Network. Before we get into some of the more sciencey things, as has been quoted to me on our Facebook website, I do want to say some words to us and share some words, some more words for us on the meaning of education. Because this is more about how we're educated and which will dictate how we see the world based upon what we think we know in our heads. And again, I bow to the words of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan to give that definition, for he is also my teacher as well. The True Meaning of Education by the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful, I am so happy to be here at Alabama A&M University. Alabama, you have a great future. You just need to be prepared for the role that God intends to carry out with the time that we have. I want to talk to you about true education that will give you true preparation for your future. What are we learning? How are we using it? I'm in a great institution. I thank God for its founder, William Hooper Council, and for the vision that he had to set up an institution like this for us. Mr. Council understood something that we may be losing the meaning of. He understood the value of the land, and he understood the value of what the land can produce. And Booker T. Washington, he understood your role, present and future. So he set up an institution called Tuskegee University that would give us first mastery of the land and what the land produces, that we would never have to beg somebody for a job. But with our mastery of agriculture and mechanical engineering science, we could create jobs. I came across an article written by John Hope Bryant the other day on my iPad, which raised questions. If Bill Gates were black, Mr. Bryant wrote, for much of the past century, African Americans pursued social justice through government intervention, the ballot box, and ultimately elective office. While the number of black mayors and elected officials in this country is impressive, the number of black entrepreneurs is not. As a result, job creation in underserved communities and among the black middle class is stagnant. I think he has a point, don't you? Mr. Bryant continues, the main driver of freedom in the world is not the vote, but the access to capital. When I speak of capital, I obviously mean financial capital. But I also mean the Latin root word capitus, or knowledge in the head. When someone is decapitated, that means their head is cut off. Well, from the word capita, you get capital, which is rooted in what you've got in your head. So that is why education, the proper education, is so necessary, because if you don't have the right knowledge in your head, you will not be able to do what God intended for us to do. True education's root problem. Hypocrisy in religion, dear brothers and sisters. I am a Muslim, but I'm also a Christian and a Jew. Now, Farrakhan, how could you be all three? You must be confused. No. When you understand the root of being a Jew, being a Christian, and being a Muslim, it is the same. What is a Jew? A Jew is a person with a special covenant relationship with God based on their obedience to the laws, statutes, and commandments of God. What is a Muslim? One who submits his or her will to do the will of God, following the noble example of Muhammad ibn Abdullah, the seal of the prophet. What is a Christian? To be a Christian means to be crystallized into oneness with Christ through following his example, as Jesus was one of the Father, one with the Father. If you are one with him, you are crystallized into that unity with him. Then you can call yourself as a Christian, the body of Jesus Christ. But how many real Muslims are in the world today? How many real Christians are in the world today? How many real Jews are in the world today? I'm not trying to blaspheme, but the hypocrisy in religion must end. Having a cross, a Star of David, or star and crescent on your neck, or looking sanctimonious when you go to church, synagogue, or mosque, does it make you Christian, Jew, or Muslim? Do you know that there's no church, no mosque, no synagogue more valuable than the human being? Did you know that the Kaaba at Mecca, the Basilica at Rome, and in the fine hands of man that have made these magnificent structures, not one of them is equal to the handiwork of God, which is this magnificent human body. This body is the real house of God, but you have to let God in his house. Well, how can I let him in? Open your ear to hear his word. Because he's coming in through the word. Once you let the word of God in the ear and it enters the heart and he begins to change you in accordance with the word, that's how you become a true Christian, Jew, and Muslim. Who is determining our diameter of knowledge? Brothers and sisters, you have to admit that somebody has lied to us about ourselves, about God, about Jesus, about religion, and you're really confused. This is why Jesus said, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free." The question is, what truth will set us all free? White people suffer from the false notion that white skin makes them superior. And we, black people, suffer from the falsehood that the blackness of our skin makes us inferior. So we're bowing to white supremacy and manifesting black inferiority. Look at all the BS degrees we produce. When you master the same so-called knowledge, yet come out of school unproductive, is that why they call it a BS degree? You have to understand, he who gives you the diameter of your knowledge prescribes the circumference of your activity. If you're in kindergarten, they teach you what you should learn in kindergarten. What they teach you is the diameter of kindergarten level knowledge. And when you get it, you can accomplish certain things. When you've accomplished that, then you go into primary school, where there is the diameter of primary level knowledge, which prescribes the circumference of your ability to act. Then high school. Then you go to college, and you go in a master's program and get a PhD degree. Now that you've got your master's and PhD, that diameter of knowledge should give you a sphere of activity that makes you a productive person in the world. So let's examine our productivity. How could we be free? And we're asking white people to give us a job. I want you to think about this. Because if that's what you came here to get education for, they don't have enough jobs for themselves and their millions of unemployed. So you would be foolish thinking that you're going to come out of here and they're going to give you a job. You are telling white people, treat me as an equal. I'm an equal. Treat me like that. Well, I don't know about that. See, if you're really equal, You should be able, with equal education, to do for yourself and your people what they have done for themselves and their people. Also, what they are doing for us and our people. You have to be qualified to be equal. And you have to be free in order to make yourself equal. So you are not yet free. You are enslaved by what you call education, which is training. How many of you have a discipline in science? Physics, chemistry, biology, or biochemistry? See, as we get into engineering, chemical, aeronautical, civil, mechanical, etc., the numbers of those studying it are also too few. But how many of us are studying psychology, sociology? Well, you better get another discipline because that doesn't work. You are not learning what you need to learn to deal with the minds that are being produced by today's reality. You can't handle it. This is pseudo-knowledge. How many of you are in African-American studies? Imagine how you're going to parlay a degree in African-American studies into some meaningful employment. Who cares what you knew about African-American studies if it doesn't lead you to be more productive in life? Jews don't learn Jewish history in school. They learn science and mathematics. They learn to be masters of everything that they touch. Yes, they do. And they approach everything they touch with the mind of a master. If you, I, we are made in the image of God, then we can be qualified to master any and every discipline. If you, I, and we are made in the image of God, but you don't approach those mathematics, science, engineering with the mind of a master, you say they're too hard. So you opt out of these little small courses that will give you something that you can just hang on your wall. But when you leave college, the question is, how productive will you be for your people? What is the meaning of the word education? It comes from two Latin words, a prefix, educo or educare, which means to lead or to lead out from. Did you know that God has given to every human being a gift from himself? There's not one human being that is not gifted from God. But education is to lead the gift out so that what is within is manifested, is developed, is put into service for the glory of God. So many of us live and die without ever realizing the gift that God has given. We can sing, dance, throw a basketball, football, run fast. That's wonderful. But that is not your purpose in life. True education is an education that develops and cultivates the human being. And when you're truly educated, you're cultivated from within. Then, when it comes out, and the world sees the gift that God has given you, then you become the glory of God. Alabama A&M, agriculture is the engine of civilization. When you don't have good, strong agriculture, somebody else is feeding you. And as long as our mouths are in the kitchen of our former slave masters and their children, we are at their mercy. Here in Alabama, we work the plantations, and some of us are still on them. Some are so angry with what we suffered as sharecroppers that we don't ever want to see the land anymore. We don't want to farm anymore. We run away from agriculture. So even though this is an agricultural institution, only a few of us are studying the subject. Brothers and sisters, take your Bible that you have and open to the book of Genesis. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, right? That's what it says. And God said, let there be light. All this wonderful creation that God did, everything he did, he said, ah, this is good. Then God created man. But what was the aim of God in producing a man? The scriptures teach, and there was no man to till the ground. Here was the earth, but no man to cultivate it. No man to look at the riches in it. No man to bring the riches out of it, to put it in the service of the self and others. So God said, let us make man in our image and after our likeness. And let us give them dominion over the fowl of the air, the fish of the sea, and every creeping thing that crawls upon the earth. Boy, this is heavy scripture. So what was the first job that God gave man? He gave Adam the commands of multiply, replenish the earth, subdue it, and dress the garden. What was the religion that God gave to Adam in the garden? If you think that he didn't have a religion, yes, he did. The religion in the garden is the same as it is today. Obey God. He told Adam what to do. Start with God's first command to Adam, which is multiply. Well, we know how to do that. We're doing that quite well with all the children we produce. But let's take multiplication to another level. When you learn multiplication, there was a multiplier, a multiplicand, and a product. So when God instructs man to multiply, do you know that by nature you are a producer? So you come out and God has gifted you and the world is here. So you and I are to draw from the world what God has created, put it into service for ourselves, then become productive human beings. We are at the time in history when we are going to have to do something for ourselves or for the consequences. So I want you to look at what you're studying, and I want you to look at it carefully. If it's not challenging you to do something that will make you a contributor to the rise of our people, then stop right here and say, I'm going to change my focus. Because when you come out of this institution, agriculture will be needed. And I'm rolling to my next page here, so bear with me. There's so much, just so much. So as we said, when you come out of this institution, agriculture will be needed. Can we continue to allow what we feed upon in our mind to be given by given to us by the one who is our open enemy. We as students, children, black teachers produce better academic and behavioral outcomes for black students compared to their white counterparts. This is Not So Mad Science. And I'm your host, Brother Harold Muhammad, here on the Black Hole Radio Network. We're going to take a brief minute, and we're going to, how you say, keep on getting on. Quick commercial break. We'll be right back. Back. This is Not So Mad Science with your host, Brother Harold Muhammad, here on the Black Hole Radio Network. We thought that we were done with COVID. Well, the saga continues. In referencing some information from Dr. Joseph Mercola of The Defender, it has been found and documented. Multiple COVID shots are linked to higher mortality rates in 18-year-old to 40-year-old. Young people who received multiple COVID-19 jabs were significantly more likely to die than those who skip the shot, according to data provided by the United Kingdom's Office of National Statistics. So let's take a look at this story at a quick glance. An analysis by the Exposé, a published periodical in England, has revealed that in February 2023, those who received four COVID-19 shots had a 318% higher mortality rate than the unvaccinated group. The other month analyzed showed four-shot teens and youth were between 221% and 290% more likely to die than those who didn't get the shot. Another study found that compared to unvaccinated children, vaccinated children had significantly higher rates of asthma, allergy, eczema, respiratory infection, behavioral issues, and other health conditions as a result of taking the COVID-19 vaccine. Separate research showed that for every life saved, there were nearly 14 times more deaths caused by the modified RNA COVID-19 injections. The data included deaths by vaccination status from April 1st of 2021 to May 31st of 2023, when the COVID-19 shot campaign was in full effect. Now, granted, I know some of you listening to this right now, you're really, really pissed off. And, well, you should be. You were warned. The up-to-date data and material was provided to you in advance. So now here you are. When the expose analyzed the data, they revealed the disturbing findings that those with the most COVID-19 shots fared the worst. Quoting the publication, our analysis focused on mortality rates per 100,000 person years from January to May 2023. Among residents in England aged 18 to 39. And what we found is truly shocking. I'm continuing to quote the publication. Initial observations of the data prove that individuals in this age bracket who had received four doses of a COVID-19 vaccine higher mortality rates compared to their unvaccinated counterparts. As noted by a Canadian oncologist and cancer researcher, Dr. William Mackis, the more mRNA shots you take, the greater the immune system damage. Boy, it sounds like I'm beating a dead dumb, rotted horse corpse right now. So many of you knew this, were informed of this in advance, but you couldn't believe because of the source by which it came. Dr. Mackis states, not the least of which is a greater risk of impaired cancer surveillance and turbo cancer as a result of taking the mRNA shot. The expose analysis suggests multiple shots also raise mortality rates among those ages 18 to 39. In every month, those who received 4 COVID-19 shots were significantly more likely to die than those who hadn't received it. It's a recurring thing. In January 2023, for instance, those who never received a COVID-19 shot had a mortality rate of 31.1 per 100,000 person years. Let me give you an understanding of what these statistics reflect when they say 100,000 person years. That means in any 1 year period, 100,000 people, the numbers are balancing of mortality to life against what is expected and what you actually get. What you're actually getting is a death rate 4 times higher than those who did not take the vaccine, those who resisted. Watch this now. Among those who received a quadruple jab, 4 boosters, the rate of death was 106 times per 100,000 person years. Even among those who had received 1 COVID-19 shot, the mortality rate was much higher than the unvaccinated at 53.3% per 100,000 person years. You are more than 50% more likely to die from something as it related to the COVID-19 vaccine. Those conditions that you were not weak to, that your body had a resistance to, it no longer is able to resist that sickness, that disease, or those conditions that the COVID-19 now brought the barrier down and you're exposed. The January to May average mortality rate per 100,000 persons was 26.56 for unvaccinated teens and young adults, and a shocking 94.58% per 100,000 for those with 4 dose vaccinations, teens and young adults. Meaning on average, those who received a 4-dose vaccination were 250% more likely to die than the unvaccinated based on mortality rates per 100,000 persons. That is not a small sampling. That is a very good sampling of the population of a given area sharing a given experience. That is an incredible number. 256% more likely. In February 2023, however, those who received 4 COVID-19 shots at that time had a 318% higher mortality rate than the unvaccinated group. The other month showed 4-shot teens and youth were between 221% and 290% more likely to die as a result of complications than those who didn't get the shot. These figures are extremely worrisome and strongly suggest that COVID-19 vaccination increases a person's mortality rate, which in turn suggests COVID-19 vaccinations may actually be killing teens, young adults, and early 40-year-olds in the tens of thousands. COVID shots killed more people than they saved. The shot itself killed more people than it saved. Just getting the initial shot other research has reached similar conclusions that mRNA COVID-19 shots may be deadly. Again, you neo-Maxi Bundweebi Niedermeyer, you were told in advance, yet you rejected the source. Now, I know a few of you are going to be angry with me, and I'm going to get some funny commentary because of the colorful things that I'm saying at the end, but you cannot deny the facts nor the results. To coin a phrase, if Nixon knew, Ag knew. Dot, did it, .. the ghetto code. Okay, let's continue. A now retracted narrative review published in the journal Curis, which is a medical journal, called for a global moratorium on mRNA COVID-19 shots, citing significant increases in serious adverse events among those who received the injections, along with an unacceptable high harm to reward ratio. Just so that you're aware, Curis is a journal of medical science. When factoring in absolute risk and the number needed to vaccinate, a metric used to quantify how many people need to be vaccinated to prevent one additional case of a specific disease, the review found that for every life saved, there were nearly 14 times more deaths caused by the modified mRNA injection. As for why the paper was retracted, study author Steve Kirsch said this: it's about supporting the narrative. Board-certified internist and cardiologist Dr. Peter McCullough, author of the papers, authors, called the retraction a stunning act of scientific censorship. In addition to calling for a global moratorium on mRNA COVID-19 shots, the authors of the paper, Dr. M. Nathaniel Mead, Dr. Stephanie Seneff, Dr. Russ Wolfinger, Dr. Jessica Rose, Dr. Krish Denharnik, Dr. Kirsch and McCullough said the shots would be immediately removed from the childhood vaccine schedule, while boosters should also be suspended. To quote the publication once again, it is unethical and unconscionable to administer an experimental vaccine to a child who has a near zero risk of dying from COVID-19, but a well-established 2.2% risk of permanent heart damage as a result, based on the best prospective data available because of the shot. The moratorium is warranted based on the shot's risk of serious adverse events. The mechanism behind those adverse events, mortality data, and issues with inefficacy, vaccine control, and processing. According to the review, federal agency approval of the COVID-19 mRNA vaccines on a blanket coverage population-wide basis had no support from an honest assessment of all relevant registrational data, commensurate consideration of risk versus benefit. Given the extensive, well-documented SAEs, or serious adverse events, and unacceptably high harm-to-reward ratio, we urge governments around the world to endorse a global moratorium on the modified mRNA products until all relevant questions pertaining to causality, residual DNA, and aberrant protein production are answered. So a question has to be asked. Are unvaxxed children healthier than vaccinated? Another study that runs counter to the narrative was also retracted. The research by Dr. Paul Thomas, who had his medical license suspended because he became widely known for supporting informed consent for vaccination, and James Lyons Wheeler, the Institute for Pure and Applied Knowledge, analyzed data spanning a 10-year period within a pediatric practice. It focused on comparing health outcomes between vaccinated and unvaccinated children. The data showed vaccinated children had significantly higher rates of, oh, check out this list, asthma, allergy, eczema, rhinitis, gastroenteritis, respiratory infection, middle ear infection, conjunctivitis, breathing issues, and behavioral issues. Further, none of the 561 children who were not vaccinated had attention deficit hyperactivity disorder, also known as ADHD, while 0.063% of partially and fully vaccinated children did. That's interesting. The implication of these results for the net public health effects of whole population vaccination with respect for informed consent on human health are compelling, the doctors, plural, wrote. The study also points out that the rate of autism spectrum disorder in their practice was half that of the U.S. national average, which is 84%, 0.84% versus 1.69%. The rate of ADHD in the practice was also about half the national average. According to the authors, the data indicates that unvaccinated children in the practice are not unhealthier than the vaccinated, and indeed the overall result may indicate that unvaccinated pediatric patients in this practice, his particular practice, are healthier overall than the vaccinated. The researchers, with 100% commitment, call for more studies on this topic to be done independently from the vaccine industry, emphasizing the need for unbiased research in understanding the impact of vaccination on children's health. Dr. Mackis explained, and I quote, "The results were not even remotely close in comparison." I'm going to say that again. The results were not even remotely close. It is a total knockout. If you listened to the TV media, you would think that the results would be just the opposite of these findings. There is a reason in 100 years of vaccinating children, there have never been retrospective studies. Don't you want to see 5, 10, 15, or even 20-year studies of the vax versus the unvax? I do. Wouldn't that be very helpful? Why have there never been any studies like this? They would 100% prove without a shadow of a doubt that not only do vaccines not prevent the infection and transmission, but they are severely harming children, especially for allergies, middle ear infections, autism, breathing issues, rhinitis, respiratory infections, eye infections, gastroenteritis, eczema and behavioral issues. If the vaccines prevent infection, then why are infections significantly higher in all of Dr. Thomas's vaccinated children in his practice? These are serious, life-changing, chronic conditions. Vaccines shift the immune system to allergies and autoimmunity, and you have more infections of other kinds. In short, what does this mean? It means that vaccines destroy a child's immune system. Every vax is different, with different live viruses and toxins, and they will really hit a child with a weaker immune system first. So other studies show health issues more common in vaccinated children. While the mainstream narrative only shares the notion that vaccines are safe and effective, whereas several studies have shown that this isn't always the case. One study looked at the health outcomes of vaccinated and unvaccinated children from 3 medical practices in the U.S. Vaccinated children were much more likely to have several health issues compared to unvaccinated children, specifically the chances of being diagnosed with a severe allergy or autism or gastrointestinal disorders, asthma, ADHD, and the other things that I mentioned earlier. These children had significantly higher rates, or I should say, the vaccinated had significantly higher rates than these other children who were not vaccinated. For example, vaccinated children had over 4 times the risk of severe allergies and over 20 times the risk of ADHD compared to the unvaccinated children. The vaccinated children who were not breastfed or delivered by cesarean section had the highest risk of negative health outcomes. Another study found that children vaccinated before their birthday had a higher chance of experiencing developmental delays, asthma, and ear infection. And they passed the law to pump this poison into your children neonatally before they even come into the world. Further, when the scientists looked at the developmental delays over time. The risk increased as children got older, from 6 months up to 24 months of age. The risk of four health conditions, developmental delays, asthma, ear infections, and gastrointestinal disorders is increased when they extended the age for possible diagnosis from at least 3 years to 5 years of age. In another example, researchers looked into the health of U.S. children who are homeschooled, comparing those who have been vaccinated with those who haven't. While the vaccinated children were less likely to have had chickenpox or whooping cough, they were more likely to have had pneumonia, severe ear infections, extreme allergies, and other neurodevelopmental disorders such as a learning disability, ADHD, or autism as a result of the vaccine. A particularly high risk of neurodevelopmental disorders was found in children who were both born prematurely and vaccinated, with these children being 6.6 times more likely to have neurodevelopmental disorders compared to other children. The fact that no link was found between premature births and neurodevelopmental disorders among the unvaccinated, raises the disturbing possibility that the vaccination schedule for premature babies could be responsible for the neurological disorder some premature babies begin to exhibit, which have been previously assumed to be simply a result of being born prematurely. Yeah, right. Past research published in the journal Human and Experimental Toxicology also showed infant mortality rates, good Lord, correlated between the number of vaccine doses and infant mortality rates. As it stands, the childhood vaccine schedule shouldn't be considered safe and effective for all. And mRNA COVID-19 shot association with increased mortality and other significant health issues should give everyone reason to pause and stop dead in their tracks. If you've developed unusual symptoms after a COVID-19 shot or other vaccinations, seek out help from a health expert who is not compromised by their relationship with the pharmaceutical manufacturers. If you develop symptoms or unusual symptoms after a COVID-19 shot or the vaccination, seek out help. The Frontline COVID-19 Critical Care Alliance also has a treatment protocol for COVID-19 shot injuries. It's called iRecover, and it can be downloaded from COVID19CriticalCare.com. I'm going to say that again. The Frontline COVID-19 Critical Care Alliance . If you're experiencing symptoms of an extreme nature as a result of your COVID-19 shot, go to COVID19CriticalCare.com and you can get the assistance that you need. And this is Not So Mad Science with your host, Brother Harold Muhammad here on the Black Hole Radio Network. And if you give me just a few more moments, time to pay the bills, so I will leave you with this song as we handle our business. We'll be right back.
Wake up, everybody, no more sleeping in bed. No more back to thinking, time for thinking ahead. The world has changed so very much from what it used to be. There's so much hatred, war and poverty. Wake up, all the teachers, time to teach a new way. Maybe then they'll listen to what you have to say. They're the ones who's coming up, and the world is in their hands. When you teach the children, teach them the very best you can. If we just let it be, na 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 na, the world won't get no better. We gotta change it, girl, just you and me. Wake up all the doctors, make the old people well. They're the ones who suffer and who catch all the hair. They don't have so very long before their judgment day. So won't you make them happy before they pass away? Wake up all the builders, time to build a new land. I know we could do it if we all lend a hand. The only thing we have to do is put it in our minds. Surely things will work out. They do it every time. The world won't get no better if we just let it be. The world won't get no better. We gotta change it, just you and me.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back. This is Not So Mad Science with your host, Brother Harold Muhammad, here on the Black Hole Radio Network. For those of you that listened in last week, we shared a lot of information with regard to the environment and the plastics industry. Environmentally, plastic, microplastic, to coin the phrase, has crept into areas of the earth that no one has seen and touched in over 300,000 years. But in examining this substrata of material, this soil, they found microplastics. Now, this latest article I did not locate until sometime after that program last week. It's associated with CBS News. Ben Tracy penned an article which criticizes and called out the plastic industry over the fraud of plastic recycling. He interviewed a woman by the name of Jan Dell. Jan Dell is a former chemical engineer who spent years telling an inconvenient truth about plastic. She said, and I quote, "So many people, they see the recycled label and they put it in the recycle bin," she said. "But the vast majority of plastics are not recycled. About 48 million tons of plastic waste is generated in the U.S. every year. Only 5 to 6% of it is actually recycled, according to the Department of Energy. The rest ends up in landfills or is burned." Ms. Dell founded a nonprofit organization called The Last Beach Cleanup to help in the fight against plastic pollution. Inside her garage in Southern California is all sorts of plastic with those little arrows on it that make us think that they can be recycled. But she soon found out we're being lied to. Those so-called chasing arrows started showing up on plastic products in 1988. Part of a push to convince the public that plastic waste wasn't a problem because it can be recycled. Davis Allen, who's an investigative researcher with the Center for Climate Integrity, said the industry didn't need for recycling to work. They needed people to believe that it was working, according to his investigation. A new report called The Fraud of Plastic Recycling accuses directly the plastic industry of a decade-long campaign to mislead the public about the viability of plastic recycling. Despite knowing the technical and economic limitations that make plastics unrecyclable at a large scale, they couldn't ever lie about the existence of plastic waste, according to Investigator Allen. But they created a lie about how we could solve it, and that was recycling. Ms. Tracy asked, if plastic recycling is technically difficult, if it doesn't make a whole lot of economic sense, why has the plastics industry pushed for it? Mr. Allen replies, "The plastics industry understands that selling recycling sells plastic. And they'll say pretty much whatever they need to say to continue doing just that. That's how they make money. They sold an idea, but the idea sells more fresh generated plastic than the recycling. Plastic is made from oil and gas and comes in thousands of varieties, most of which cannot be recycled together. But in the 1980s, when some municipalities moved to ban plastic products, the industry began promoting the idea of recycling as a solution. Mr. Allen showed us documents and meeting notes they obtained from public archives and from a former staff member of the American Plastics Council, which says, and I quote, "Whatever we see in here is as a widespread knowledge that plastic recycling was not working." At a trade conference in Florida in 1989, an industry leader told attendees, "Recycling cannot go on indefinitely and does not solve the solid waste problem." In 1994, an Exxon executive told the staff of the Plastics Council that when it comes to recycling, we are committed to the activities but not committed to the results. Mr. Allen said they've always kind of viewed recycling not as a real technical problem that they needed to solve, but as a public relations problem. The industry just launched a new ad campaign called "Recycling is Real" and says it's investing in what it calls advanced recycling technology. The American Chemistry Council, an industry trade group, responded to CBS Sunday Morning in a statement calling the Center for Climate Integrity report flawed and outdated, and says plastic makers are working hard to change the way that plastics are made and recycled. Ms. Dell doesn't believe plastics will ever be truly recyclable. It's the same process they were trying 30 years ago. And my response to that is science fiction, she said. Plastic production is set to triple by the year 2050. And with so much plastic waste piling up on land and sea, more than 170 countries are working on a United Nations treaty to end plastic pollution. In a letter to President Biden about the negotiations, the plastic industry says it opposes any ban on plastic production, but supports more recycling. They support an idea that has proven to be false and doesn't work. Ms. Dell says the only thing the plastic industry has actually recycled is the lies over and over again. This is Not So Mad Science, and I'm your host, Brother Harold Muhammad, here on the Black Hole Radio Network. I'm not done with you yet. We have more to go. These last few pieces are a case of did you know? Then all we got to do is just pay attention and we will know. For years, scientists have been fiddling around with the same technique and science used to produce the COVID-19 mRNA vaccine called CRISPR, which is in truth gene editing and not vaccine or vaccination producing. It's gene therapy. These scientists messing around with genes accidentally in their cloning processes made a mouse grow legs in the location and area where the mouse's genitalia is supposed to be. Turning off a gene early in a mouse development, led researchers to end up with an accidental six-legged embryonic mammal. This strange result took the spinal cord research of developmental biologist Anastasia Lozbovska and Moise Malo and their colleagues at the Portugal Gulbenkian Science Institute in a new direction. Dr. Malo told Sarah Reardon of the Nature News publication, "I didn't choose the project chose me." The team compared to 10 and 17-day-old mouse embryos with and without functioning versions of the gene in question, which code the receptor proteins that make designations. This gene contributes to signaling a pathway that gives a forming body its trunk to tail direction. This pathway provides a hind limb here or external genitalia instruction to the developing embryo cell. As a mammalian embryo grows, it builds structures subsequently from head to tail. Early in development, genetic mechanisms shift from focusing on the head to extending the body and laying the foundations for major organ systems. Later, a second transition occurs when the activation of genes in multiple layers of tissue extends the trunk to create a tail. It's during this process that the interaction between emerging tissues generates structures necessary for the body's exit channels and genitalia. These people, these dastardly, dirty, rotten, stinking, skullduggery, knuckle-dragging, hairy-fingered, filthy-faced, unwashing savages, trick a body, a living body, a mammalian, we're mammals as well. Instead of producing genitalia, it produced legs and arms where its genitalia should be. I brought this up tonight to run in consequence to and with consideration to the mRNA COVID-19 vaccines. Dear brothers and sisters, they're playing with your genes. They're experimenting on you, and they do not know what the hell they are doing. Please, for God's sake, stop the insanity and allow those who provide an alternative viewpoint, a little bit of your ear time, and do a little research on your own. And if you got questions, you can always come to Not So Mad Science every Tuesday night at 6:30 and get assistance in answering your question. This program exists to give you the means to know and to remove the veil of ignorance in front of your face. None are too old to learn or too young to understand. This is Not So Mad Science, and I'm your host, Brother Harold Muhammad, here on the Black Hole Radio Network. But I'm not done yet. I got one more duty for you. The U.S. Navy, in their program called, their publication called the Navy Times, the Navy fired the commander of its biomedical research lab. The commanding officer of a Lima, Peru. Now you got to ask, why would the Navy have a functioning biomedical research facility in Lima, Peru, because there are no restrictions in Lima, Peru that they're required to follow that are on the books here in the United States. They can get away with doing things down there that they cannot do here. So, what are they working on down there in Lima, Peru, becomes my question. What happened that Commander Abigail Martyr was relieved of duty as head of the Naval Medical Research Unit South due to a loss of confidence in her ability to command? What did she come up against that went against her moral fiber that she rejected an order and did not follow it to their satisfaction? Who and what are they experimenting on in Peru? Naval officials did not immediately respond to follow-up questions from the Naval Times. Navy commanding officers are held to the higher standards of personal and professional conduct, the Navy says. They are expected to uphold the higher standards of responsibility, reliability, and leadership, and the Navy holds them accountable when they fall short of meeting these standards. Code language for she didn't follow orders. Something went against her moral grain. Commander Michael Prouty has assumed temporary command of the unit, and Martyr has been temporarily reassigned to a naval station for the Senator, Alaska? No. To a Naval Medical Research Command under someone else's direction. Captain Martyr is a family nurse practitioner. She took command in July of last year. She didn't last a year. Formerly known as Naval Medical Research Unit No. 6, the command monitors and researches infectious diseases in Central and South America. This is Not So Mad Science, and I'm your host for the Harold Muhammad here on the Black Hole Radio Network. Leaving you as I came before you with the prayer and the hope that God blesses you to have a great day. With the immortal words of Adam Clayton Powell Jr., keep the faith, baby. Keep the faith.